Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
Well, I'm so glad you tuned in, and the Bible says this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we can thank God that He is ever near us to help us. And I just thank God personally. I had a need that I asked the Lord to help me on, and it was quite a big thing to me. And He specifically answered prayer. And I'm glad that our God is alive and well. And millions of people have had very specific prayers answered. And God comes through. And I thank God that He comes through and He helps us. But our program is always about upholding God's word. And some people say, well, you shouldn't just defend it, but you should preach it. Well, the Bible says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And the Bible says, in thy word do I trust. We're to trust in God's word. We look at our government today, and they're going to spend about $1.5 trillion more than they take in this year. I mean, they have already bankrupt the country, and they're going to continue, I guess, until the whole thing collapses. Then they're printing paper money to pay for it. And, of course, some of you heard what happened in Germany before World War II, where the money became so worthless that a guy took his money in a wheelbarrow to the bank, and when he came out, why, the money was there and the wheelbarrow was gone. And so they're printing the paper money by the billions of dollars right now. And I don't know, that's what you do when you attempt to destroy the government. And so I don't know if that's what they have in mind. It almost looks like it. But and the media is going right along with it. You look at the media, they promote sodomy, abortion. They promote anti-Christian propaganda. They'll blame Christians for anything. And yet, we can thank God we have one place in this world where we can go that is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and that is the Word of God. And when I talk about the Word of God, I'm not talking about counterfeit Bibles. I'm talking about the King James Bible, what is called the Authorized Bible or the Authorized King James Bible. The Bible says the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And Jesus said, thy word is true. And He's not talking about original autographs, which nobody has. They teach that in seminaries and many Bible schools that this is referring to originals. So that makes the teacher, professor, the authority. So he sits there and he's on an ego trip and he's constantly correcting the Word of God. But Jesus never corrected it. He appealed to what He had, although He didn't use the originals. He said, it is written, and we can say that today. It is written, and we can thank God for it. I'm going to talk today a little bit on why I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I'm going to just mention a few things today. There's so many reasons that we have that we couldn't give them all. Now, atheism says that faith is based on blind emotion. But the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the King James, it says the evidence of things not seen. Now, the counterfeit Bibles make it subjective, and they say faith is substance of things hoped for, the assurance of things not seen. But the King James says objective. It's based on evidence. And Jesus showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. So our Word of God, our Bible, is based on evidence and proof. That's some of the reasons I want to give today. First of all, I'll take some examples from science. Because of science, look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. Paul is talking here through the Holy Spirit, and he says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. God gave us life and breath. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he demonstrated it when he raised Lazarus and many others from the dead. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Now it says here, he is made of one blood all nations to dwell upon the face of the earth. You know, if you go to the hospital, you may get, if you get some type of a blood transfusion, you may get a blood that was donated by a Chinaman, or you might get a blood that was donated by an Indian from South America, or you might get blood that was donated from somebody from Africa or an African background. We all have the same blood. I'll tell you what, though, you put a orangutan or a chimpanzee blood in you, and you'll be dead before you could even talk about it. There is a difference, but man has the same blood. That's a scientific statement, and it is true in the world today. It is proven by science and by objective empirical science, and so the Bible is true, and we can count on it. Now, not only that, the Bible says in Isaiah, when people believed all kinds of nonsense, it says, it is he that is God that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And we know that the earth is round, because if you go out into space, which our astronauts have done, they have taken pictures of it, and you can see that it is round. And yet the Bible says that it is he, that is God himself, that sits on the circle of the earth. That's another example of the Bible being absolutely true. And then the Bible says that God created everything after its kind. And so we see that archaeology, we see that science, we see that science shows that there are different kinds of animal life. For instance, there's the canine or the dog family, and there's the feline, the cat family. And where they can reproduce in their kind, but they can't cross over. And the evidence from the Earth shows that there is no crossover. In other words, if they teach evolution, they teach that we evolved upwards. But science shows that evolution is a lie. There's no crossover between different kinds of animal life. And that is what the Bible says, and that is what true science proves. And it's an open and shut case. You can't argue it. They say that the reason that they say that everything is millions of years old, they say that these changes in evolution took place, but nobody could see it. See, so they have to make it millions upon millions of years old because you can't see the changes. Well, if you can't observe it, it's not science. Because science is based on observation, experimentation, and repeatability. And everything shows that the way the Bible says, it's true. They have one fellow from Harvard University, and he has gone, he has died, but he invented this thing called punctuated equilibrianism, which says that evolution takes place suddenly in great leaps forward. Like, for instance, a turtle might lay an egg, and all of a sudden, he lays the egg and punctuated equilibrianism takes place, and out pops a bird. Well, that's just as nonsensical as the other theory that it took place over millions of years and nobody can observe it. It's not found in the earth. And so the Bible is true. When we read it, we can trust it. We can't trust our newspaper. We can't trust the government. We can't trust... Bible says all men are liars, but we can trust in the Word of God. Now, another reason we can believe the Bible is because of some of the health regulations. And I'm just taking a few of the things off the top. For instance, in the Old Testament, they had what, it wasn't in the Bible, but they had a book called the Egyptian Book of the Dead. And man, you'd be dead if you believe what that thing said, because they were talking about curing some type of a disease. And they were talking about using the dead flies and putting it in the ointment, and that would help cure it. And, of course, that is preposterous and ridiculous. That'd cure it all right. It'd kill you. And yet the Bible talks about the health regulations, and it says that the human waste should be buried. It talks about washing in running water. It talks about using hyssop, which kills bacteria. We have soap today that kills our bacteria in our body. You know, they didn't even really understand this until somewhere in the middle of the 19th century, about 1860, because they found out that if they, in Vienna, Austria, if they took a woman to the hospital to have a baby, she'd probably die. But if she had the baby at home, and one guy found out that they were using instruments to study cadavers and then using the same instruments without washing them or sterilizing them on the mothers when they were having the babies, and so the babies were dying of the diseases picked up by the dead bodies. And this is all the way into 1860. It took about 20 years for other doctors to start believing it, although the doctor could prove it, see? But the Bible talks about this already. I mean, it has the health regulations, and so it was written by God and given to man, and we can trust in it. And we can trust it because of its history. You can study some of the apocryphal books that were written, and they have kings out of place, cities out of place. They're ridiculous, you know, if you study the history of that time. But the historical books in the Bible, you can trust them because the more you study the archaeology, the more you study the history, the more that they are proven. For instance, the skeptics try to say Daniel didn't write the book, but it was written much later because there were prophecies in the book that were so detailed that only they figured that it could not have been written when Daniel wrote the book. And he wrote it somewhere about the year 500 B.C. And Daniel wrote about King Belshazzar, and they couldn't find any record that he existed. Those countries in that time, if a king was defeated in the country, they wouldn't even write about him. But he was the second in command. His father, Nabonidus, was off in the desert, and he was second in command in the kingdom. His name was Belshazzar, and Daniel writes about him. Then Nebuchadnezzar had a cabinet member named Ashpenaz, and you read about this in the book of Daniel. And so they found actually a clay tablet with Ashpenaz's name on it. And I'm giving example of many things that they found. And so its history is true. We can trust in it and believe in it. I heard the other day we had a pastor's meeting down in Massillon, and they said there's probably about 690 in the state of Ohio alone that we know about that are Bible-believing churches that uphold the King James Bible as the Word of God. Okay, we want to get back to now why I believe the Bible, because of the history. And there's a fellow that most Bible students know. His name is Josephus, and he was a general in the Israeli army. I talked about him a lot in the past. And in 80 AD, he wrote a detailed history of the Jewish people. And he writes about the details of the time of Christ. And what it does, if you read this book, it puts you into that time, but it shows that the writers of the New Testament wrote at that time. And he writes, for instance, about John the Baptist in detail, what he taught and everything. He wrote about James, the brother of Jesus, according to Acts 15, was the pastor in the church of Jerusalem, how he was put to death. And he writes interesting things. I think of another thing, and when we're talking about the history, you know, the secular world cannot give the genealogies. They don't know where the nations came from, but the Bible tells where all of mankind came from, and it traces the nations right back to Adam. And for instance, you read in the book of Genesis that it says the Sinite was in the land. Well, we know that we have Sino-American relations. That is, the Sinite was the Chinese people. And apparently they lived in the land of Canaan at one time, or in the land of Israel at one time. And in the King James, it's spelled S-I-N-I-T-E. That's the Chinese people. And I saw a tag in Walmart, and on the tag it gave different names for China. It had the top one, China, and then it had about six or seven other names. And one of the names was Sinite, S-I-N-I-T-E, spelled exactly like the King James Bible spells it. And so it tells where all a man came from. And by the way, the Bible talks about the Great Flood. It talks about the life of people before the flood. And in Egypt and also in the Middle East, in Iraq, they found tablets that talk about the flood and talk about people that lived before the flood. But the Bible gives a perfect picture of this. So we find in archaeology, the Bible is true there. And I give you a few examples. For instance, Joseph and the famine in Egypt. And they had a flood in the country of Yemen. And in this flood, it uncovered an ancient grave. And in there, on the tablets, it talked about this very wealthy lady. And she sent her servant to Joseph. And it mentions his name for food. But he didn't come back. And so then she sent someone else. And he didn't come back either. But it clearly talks about Joseph. So in archaeology, it shows they found pillars. And you read in the Old Testament about them raising pillars. They found pillars with the Egyptian hieroglyphics in the desert. And it tells some of the same stories that are found in the Old Testament of the Bible. Well, you could go over to Israel and see things that are mentioned in the Bible. For instance, I've seen right on television, you see some of the pipes that Pilate made, because Pontius Pilate, who was there, that was the Roman governor at the time of Jesus when he was condemned, he built waterworks into Jerusalem. And you could still see the pipes that he built into Jerusalem to bring water into Jerusalem. And so we're just mentioning a few things why we believe the Bible. And then God said in the Bible, the main reason to believe it is prophecy. And the writers of the Bible, they wrote things that happened right in their day. For instance, Isaiah, God said to Isaiah, he said, you get two of the leading people in Judah and have them sign their name, and I'm going to tell you a prophecy, but you're going to have a son. His name will be Mahershal El Hashbaz. And before he can say Papa, before he can say that, the city of Damascus, Syria, and the city of Samaria will be looted. And he had these leaders in Israel sign their names to it. Well, the prophets, they would tell prophecies that happened in their day. And according to Moses, if they were wrong one time, they were a false prophet and would be stoned to death. And yet these same prophets would tell things that would happen in the future. And the Bible is full of things like that, where God told things to them that would happen in their time, but also would happen in the future. For instance, God gives prophecies about his son. One of them we talk about all the time is Psalms 2, where it talks about Jesus Christ ruling over the world from Jerusalem, Israel. And in there it says that God has a son. It says, I will declare the decree of the Lord. Thou art my son. This day have I given to you the kingdoms of the world. And then we see Isaiah 7:14. Again, it shows that God has a son. Isaiah 9:6, it says God has a son. Proverbs 30, verse 4 and 6. And then it says, talks about his birth, Micah 5:2. It talks about his death, Isaiah 53, and Daniel 9 talks about his resurrection. That is the resurrection of Jesus. Many, many hundreds of detailed prophecies. And that's why in this time when everything is crumbling, we have a solid rock, and that's Christ, but it's the Christ of the Bible that we can base our trust and hope in. And the Bible says, in thy word do I trust. We can put our faith in it, but it says, blessed are all they that put their trust in him, and that is in Christ. Put your faith in him, accept him, ask Jesus to forgive your sins. He died for your sins, he was buried and rose from the dead. You can have eternal life, joy and peace. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.